Okay, good evening, everybody. Before I begin, the topic, as you know, is Hanukkah. And if I had known 3 or 4 weeks ago when I was asked to speak what would have happened yesterday, I might have changed the title and the topic of the shiur. But Baruch Hashem, I didn't know. However, I think I would be very remiss in not taking a few minutes to speak about it. I have to tell you that I moved out of the United States of America around, I think probably around 28 years ago, and something like that. And I moved, I was 27 years ago, I moved to Canada, and, you know, I didn't have a TV. So I can't say that I really ever took time to listen to an address from the President of the United States. Yesterday, listening to everyone speaking about, you're going to hear the speech, you're not going to hear the speech. Last time I heard such excitement amongst Jews, I heard personally, about going to listen to the speech, was when Nixon resigned. I remember, I was a young boy, and everyone in my family was going home to see Nixon's address. The truth is, I was hoping that Trump's address would not last as long as Nixon's did. It's a Baruch Hashem. I remember it was a very long address. Anyway, I was just thinking, you know, while I was watching, after I was watching, I actually saw, and just to understand the significance of this, the message from the Pope that he was very concerned that Trump should designate Yerushalayim, recognize Yerushalayim as being the capital of the Jews. And he said, you know, you have to keep the status quo. It's kind of interesting, as I said, you know, he was very worried about the consequences. The whole Middle East is aflame, right? And he's worried what's going to happen if Trump declares, recognizes Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. And I was thinking about what my uncle, the Rav, always pointed out. I see this in his book on Kinos. And he says that for the Christians to recognize that we have Jerusalem presents a very big theological crisis for them. Because he says one of the tenets of their faith is that God rejected us because we did not accept Oso Ish. And their proof is the fact we went into exile. We were taken out of Israel. So what happens to us historically is the proof that God is angry at us and God has rejected us. So he pointed out in 1948 they had a serious issue because we came back to Eretz Israel with establishing the state of Israel. There's a simple answer. The simple answer was, well, we don't have Jerusalem. Then we had Jerusalem in 67. That was a very big problem. And therefore, their policy was always that Jerusalem should be an international city. Because when the Jews have Jerusalem in the eyes of the world, that means another proof that we are God's chosen people. And I was thinking about the pasuk of in Tehillim. Zechor Hashem, he says, we ask Kadosh Baruch to remember the children of Edom. Children of Edom might be the Christians who are an outshoot of Edom, when they said to destroy Yerushalayim until the foundation. So it couldn't be physically destroyed, or also emotionally take away from us. And any time the nations of the world recognize Yerushalayim as our capital, it's very, very, very significant. And we have to see the Yad Hashem in everything. As you know, we're coming closer and closer. Kadosh Baruch Hu is pulling the strings to bring the Geula Shleima to complete redemption. Okay, now onto Hanukkah. All right, so now I want to speak about Yom HaMezman Hazeh. So I want to speak about a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Lachas Neres Hanukkah, lighting the Neres Hanukkah, the candles of Hanukkah. Now, it's generally accepted, as I'll speak about, that if you ask, what is the mitzvah of Hanukkah? Is the mitzvah of Hanukkah the menorah lighting the menorah? Or is the mitzvah placing the menorah, it's placed in the right spot? And in general, as we'll see the sugya, what's accepted is hadlaka osin mitzvah. That the mitzvah is not where you place it. The mitzvah is where you light the menorah. And for that, one of the proofs the Gemara brings is because the bracha we make is asher kedushanu sav mitzivanu lahadlik ner shel Hanukkah. That being said, I'd like to show in the shiur that not only, even though the hadlaka is the mitzvah, but the place where it's kept and what happens after the hadlaka, the lighting, is extremely important. So let's begin with the sugya. Now the sugya actually is a big machlokes rishonim. Just because of time and complexity, we're going to focus on one shita, which actually is mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara starts on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, source number one, and there the Gemara discusses the question, the big number of arguments between Rav and Shmuel, whether you're allowed to go ahead and use one Chanukah candle to light another Chanukah candle. And there the Gemara says, Rav holds, Ein Madlikim Ner L'Ner, you're not allowed to light from one candle to the other. And Shmuel Amar Shmuel says you can light. And, you know, we can explain it a number of ways. It could be we can talk about the fact that two people are lighting. So if my friend is lighting, can I use his light to my candle? Can I not use his light to light my candle? And then the Gemara discusses other arguments which are not really relevant to Chanukah. The Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. And even though in general, when we have a halacha that does not involve monetary matters, we always passing like Rav. If you look at source number one, this is the Gemara and Shavas, Dav Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. So I'll take it back before we get there. The end of the second line. So what is the Svaras HaMachlokes? Yosef Ahum Rabbanan Kamei de Rav Ada Barava. So one of the rabbis is sitting for Rav Ada Barava, the Yosef Kamar, and he said, Taima de Rav Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. One of the reasons the Rav holds that why is it a problem to use one candle of Chanukah light another candle? It's Bizui Mitzvah. It's denigrating the honor due to this mitzvah. You're using one candle light another candle. So therefore Rav says you can't light. And Shmuel says no. He says, Shmuel says, we're not worried about Bizui Mitzvah. Obviously, since you're using one to light another, it's not Bizui Mitzvah. So then, Amar Lohu. So then, Rav Ada Barava said, don't listen to him. Lo Tetzitzu Lohu. Time of the Rav, the reason of Rav is Mishum the Kamakish Mitzvah. He says that you're going ahead and you're taking away from the original mitzvah. If you go ahead and light one candle from another, you're removing something from the first candle. So you look at source number two, the Ritva actually discusses what's going on. He asks, what are you taking away? You light one candle from another, the original candle stays the same. So the Ritva says in source number two, time of the ray, he says, even though the first flame, Hareiku Bekocha, it's still in its original strength, like it was before you used it to light another candle, because one candle, as we know, can light many candles, and there's no end to it. However, it seems like when you go and put one candle to the other, it seems like you're taking away from the first candle. And then he goes on and he says, Valderech MS, I did not try to investigate this scientifically. He says, Chasar no siba, you are taking something away, but you just don't realize it. But he says, but the Mitzvah points out that you're taking away something from the first candle. So Gemara asks, so okay, very nice. We have two svaras. Why Rav says it's usher, why Shmuel says it's mutter. Rav holds it's usher because it's by using one candle like another, you're mevazeh, you denigrate the mitzvah. And the other svara is because you're taking away from the candle. Is there a difference in the two reasons? So the Gemara says, yes, there's a difference. What's the difference? So he says, when Rav says it's usher, is Rav saying it's usher to light one candle directly to the other candle, right? Or is he only saying it's usher, let's say, for example, to take a match, light a match on one menorah, and then use that match to light another menorah? So the Gemara says, if you hold that it's because of Bizui Mitzvah, that we're afraid you're denigrating the mitzvah, then obviously Rav is not saying that it's a problem to light one candle directly to the other candle. Right? You're lighting one Chanukah candle to another Chanukah candle. You're not denigrating the mitzvah because you're only dealing with Chanukah candles. But however, what is he saying is the problem? The problem is that you can't take a match to light one candle and another candle because taking a match would be mevazeh to denigrate the Chanukah light. He says, but if you say the reason is because of a Chushim mitzvah, that what you're doing is you're somehow or another taking away from the first Chanukah candle, and that wouldn't be right. Okay? So that's what Gemara tries to prove. So then, the Gemara brings many rayas one way or the other, and the Gemara finishes off. Not just finish off, the Gemara brings a raya from the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? And we'll have to come back to this a little bit later, but I want to focus on this now in terms of the raya. So the Gemara, in source number 3, on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, discusses the menorah. And we know that you had to light the menorah outside the parochas of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Gemara asked the famous question, What do we need a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash for? V'chila orah hutzarech? You don't need the light in the Beis HaMikdash. After all 40 years in the Midbar, the Jews had the Anan, the cloud was giving them light. And they had a menorah in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, in the desert. So what was the purpose of the menorah? So the Gemara says, he says that the menorah is edus, is testimony to the world, that what? That the Shechina is Shorah v'Yisrael. The menorah is testimony to the world that the Shechina, that God's presence is with us. How is it testimony to the world? Because it says there's a Ner Maravi, one of the candles, the Machlokes, which one it is. And he says, if you put the same amount of oil in every single cup, and the Ner Maravi is the one which you light first, and it's the one which you finish off with, and it still lasts even though it's lit longer than the other candles. Okay, so then the Gemara and he says, and what do you do with the Ner Maravi? You light the other candles of the menorah with this Ner Maravi. So now the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara says, hold on a second. We're assuming that the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is just like the menorah, the Chanukiah in the house. Right? And the Gemara says that they used to light the menorah, the candles of the Beis HaMikdash, right, with Ner Maravi. So that means you're allowed to go ahead and take the candle and light one candle from the next. Since in the Beis HaMikdash lit one candle from the next, the same thing should apply to Chanukiah. So this Gemara would be a raya to who? Would be a raya to which shita? Be a raya to shita of Shmuel that you can light one candle to the next. Okay? So what do we do with Rav? So Gemara says, listen. He said, very simple. You could say that they went ahead and they had very long wicks. Okay, and the wicks were so long that even if the Ner Maravi was three candles away, you could light the other candles from it. Right? So that would say that Rav holds that potentially you could go ahead and you could light. According to Rav, you could go ahead and you would be able to light one candle from the other, right? But he says, but that would only be according to the Shita, that according to Rav, the problem is a chushe mitzvah. Remember, we said there's two svaras according to Rav. If you hold the problem is because of a chushe mitzvah, so that means that Rav would say. So according to the, he says, if you hold the problem is because of the zuye mitzvah, that you don't want to denigrate the mitzvah, so Rav is saying you can't use, let's say, a match to bring the light across, right? So then that would fit in very well, because even in the Beis HaMikdash, they never used the match. And Rav would agree that you're allowed to light one candle directly from the other. But if you hold that Rav feels you can't even light one candle directly one from another, then you have a problem. How would Rav explain the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? When it comes to the Chanukiah, Rav says you can't light one candle directly from the other because it looks like you're taking away, and in the Beis HaMikdash you could. So the Gemara finishes off, and the Gemara just says very simply, Kasha. It's a question on Rav. Okay, not a Tiyufta, but it's a question. All right, you get a question? Okay, fine. So then the Gemara says something very, so then the Gemara says, okay, Kasha, now, how do we paskin? So we said before in source number one, who do we paskin like? Well, like Shmuel. So we pass like Shmuel, it must be that you're allowed to light one candle to the other. And we just said even Rav has to agree that the problem is Bezuye mitzvah, not a Chushi mitzvah, right? Because if you explain the problem of the Chushi mitzvah, you can't light one candle directly with one from the other, then you should be able, then how do we explain the Norna Beis HaMikdash? So based on this Gemara, it must be that Rav holds that the halacha is that the machlokis is whether or not we're concerned about the Zuyei mitzvah, right? Then therefore, Shmuel, who's not concerned with a hold, he can even use a match to light one candle to the other. Okay? So now the Gemara asks, how do we paskin? Mahavi Allah. How do we paskin? So Tosfos in source number 5 says, what do you mean, how do we paskin? It's very clear. We paskin like Shmuel, right? And therefore, you hold, you can light, you're allowed to light one candle to the other, right? And Shmuel, and the problem, Machlokis, is about Bezuye Mitzvah, right? And therefore, according to Shmuel, you're not even concerned about Bezuye Mitzvah, so you can use a match in the middle. So what's the question? So Tosfos says, and there's a Machlokes Rishonim about this, I'm just dealing with Tosfos, all right, today. So Tosfos says, no. Really, here we paskin like Rav. Okay, what do you mean? We paskin like Rav, but the Gemara said that we said in the Gemara that we paskin like Shmuel in this case. And he says no. He says we don't listen to this Gemara. We really paskin like Rav. Okay. So what's the issue here? Issue is like this. So let's look at Tosfos source number 5, and he says like this. He says the middle of the last line of source number 5. So what's the question? The question is the mitzvah of Nora, all right? Is the of Hanacha, which means is it the mitzvah where you place it down? And therefore, if you place it down, according to Rav, it's a problem. Why is it a problem? See, if you hold hadlak osim mitzvah, right? So then, how can you say it's a problem to light one candle from the other? Because I'm doing a mitzvah with the action. But if you hold hanacha osim mitzvah, I'm not doing a mitzvah with the action. So the question is, when we light the menorah on Hanukkah, is the mitzvah where it's placed when you place it down? Or is the mitzvah where it's lit? If you hold it's the mitzvah where you place it down. So when I'm lighting a menorah, all I'm doing is a hachana for the mitzvah. The lighting itself is not the mitzvah itself. And therefore, since the lighting itself is not the mitzvah, so maybe in a certain sense, I'm being the vaza, right? I'm going ahead and I'm denigrating the mitzvah. But if you hold that hadlakos the mitzvah, see, even Rav would hold it be okay. Why would Rav hold it be okay? Because you can't say I'm being mevazeh a mitzvah in the process of doing a mitzvah. So that's the machlokes, hadlakos mitzvah nachmas. Let me just go through this one more time because this is very important. So basically what Tosfos holds, and this is how we're going to, the direction we're going to take, is like this. Then we paskin like Rav. And Rav holds that you're not allowed to go ahead and light one candle from the other. All right? Why? Because we're afraid you might be mevazeh a mitzvah. However, if you're doing it in a way which does not somehow or another denigrate the mitzvah, it's okay. So if you hold hadlaka osa mitzvah, you can't say I'm denigrating the mitzvah by going ahead and lighting one candle from the other, because I'm doing a mitzvah of a Hanukkah candle. That's a mitzvah of near Hanukkah candle. It's not, you can't be mevaza a mitzvah with this, the mitzvah itself, right? But if you hold hanacha osa mitzvah, so then when I light it, that's just a preparation. That could be a bizui mitzvah. Okay, so that's the approach Tosfos takes. Now, so what are the proofs that they bring? All right, so and then we'll come back to explain. So the proofs they bring, so we look at source number 6. So, diboyelu, hadlaka osim mitzvah, o hanacha osim mitzvah. So Toshma, come in here, Gemara says. Come in here. She says, to Amar Rava, hayatafus ner chanukah va'omed. A person is standing, like the Statue of Liberty, they have the right hand, okay, and he's holding the ner chanukah. Lo asav lo klum. What's the halacha? You didn't do anything. So shma mina. So it must be hanacha osa mitzvah. It's hanacha osa mitzvah. Why? Because if you're standing in one place, if a human being in general keeps moving, it's not called a hanacha. If it's in the hand of a human being, right? So Gemara says. So we see it must be hanacha osa mitzvah. Gemara says no. Maybe hadlaka osa mitzvah. But there's a special halacha here. What's the halacha? He says the halacha is that we have to make sure people realize it's Ner Chanukah. If I'm walking around with a Ner Chanukah in my hand, what might people think, especially in those days? All people think?
Lighting up the room.
So, you know, Tashma. Another thing. Amar Rava. Hadlika b'tnim. You lit the candle, the menorah, inside the house. You know, you wanted to do it with the family around and sing Moos Tzur. And you lit it inside the house. Then you take it out. You take it outside the house. And then after you get outside the house, you put it in the right place outside the house. So Gemara says, what happens? Says, lo asa klum. You didn't do anything. Very important to remember this Gemara. So what do you mean do anything? It must be because you have to light in the right place, because the hanacha, the placement is not important, the halacha is important. So Gemara says, no. He says, Gemara says at the end, the same reason. Why? Because we're afraid. So I might think you only lit it for your purposes of light, and that's why you carried it outside with you. All right, so then the Gemara says, source number 7. So let's say you had, someone put a lot of oil into their Shabbos candles, all right? And then Motzei Shabbos, they come and their candles are still lit. So they figure, you know what? We'll go ahead and instead of Or he says it was a Hanukkah candle even, and instead of putting it out, right? We'll just, you know, move it, put it up and down. So Gemara says that's not good either. He says, why? Just pick it up, put it down. So he says. So let's look at the Gemara. So he says, source number 7. Ashashu shahayis the lekas v'olekas kol yom kula. You had lights that were lit a whole day. Motzei Shabbos mechava madliko. You put it, you blow it out, and you light it. Iyamarta bishlam adlako se mitzvah. We understand because you have to have adlaki. You just can't place it somewhere. El iyamarta anachos se mitzvah. He says, but if you say anachos se mitzvah, so he says, Gemara says, what do you mean? You just blow it out, and you light it again. So he says you have to mechado magbia manichu madlika. What does it mean? You have to go ahead and you have to blow it out, and you have to put a new candle in, right? And then you have to light it again. Because you have to do an hanacha. And if you just relight the candle, you're not doing a hanacha. So the Gemara says, and then the Gemara brings a raya, since we make a bracha l'hazal ner shel Chanukah, that means halacha osa mitzvah. Okay? So the Gemara says, and if you hold halacha osa mitzvah, so therefore, if a cheresh, shoter, a katan lights the menorah, it's not good, no matter what I do with it afterwards, because you need the hadlaka done properly. So the Gemara finishes off, hadlaka osa mitzvah, lighting the candle is a mitzvah. That's the Gemara finishes off, and therefore we paskin like Rav. What does Rav say? You're not allowed to light from you're not allowed to light mineral in there, because we're worried about bizui mitzvah, right? But if I'm not using a match, I can light one candle directly from one to the other. How come? Because I'm not doing a vaz and a mitzvah. I'm doing one mitzvah in the Ner Chanukah. So we pass that luck goes to mitzvah. However, if you go and look at the Shulchan Aruch, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. If you look at the second half of source number 8, he says, Madlikin Ner Chanukah, Ner Chanukah, Bedafka Lahadlik, Nezeb, Nezeb, Lo, and Soy. So you light one candle from another, as long as there's nothing in between, there's no match in between. But to use a match in the middle is usr. Why? Because if you use a match in the middle, the problem is that you're being mavaz in a mitzvah. But according to the Rav, since hadlaka osa mitzvah, if I go ahead and I don't use a match, I light candle to candle, and it's hadlaka osa mitzvah, I'm doing a mitzvah in the Ner Chanukah that's not bizui mitzvah. Okay? So that everything, I think, makes sense. However, if you look at source number 9, then we head into a problem. Okay, so let's look at source number 9. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. So this is Simon Tafrei Shayin. Hey, the hadlaka does the mitzvah. So he said, below hanach, not the placement. Shimahoisa munachas bimkoma. That if the menorah is put in its place, shelo l'shem mitzvah Chanukah, he says, not l'shem mitzvah Chanukah. In other words, I put, you know, let's say, for example, in my kitchen right now, my wife's in Chutzlar, so before she went away, she's coming back, Mama Sharaf Chanukah, she took all the menorahs out, all clean, polished, and they're sitting in the corner of my kitchen by the wall, by the window. Right? And it was not put there, L'shem Mitzvah Chanukah, it was put there, keep it out of the way. So let's say, for example, and the candles, obviously the candles are not in, but let's say the candles would be in, would be filled up, ready with oil, and then I would come, Sharaf Chanukah said, wow, this is great. I don't have to move this menorah, right? Because the menorah is already in the right spot. So he says, the halacha is, he says, madlika sham, I'm able to light it there. He says, so then I would not be yotzei if I did that. Why? Because I wasn't put down l'shem Chanukah. But now that halacha osa mitzvah, so if it turns out there's oil in this menorah, I can light it right there. And even though it was not put down l'shem mitzvah Chanukah, it's okay. The ain sarach l'asir l'anich l'shem mitzvah Chanukah. Then he goes on. For that reason, l'fichach ashash eshoish d'lekes kol hayom shedlika me'erah Shabbos is Chanukah, and ashash that was lit a whole day, and because you lit it erah Shabbos. L'mitzvah Chanukah. Okay, he lit it for Chanukah Friday night, and then it's still lit when Shabbos ends. L'motzei Shabbos, mechava, blow it out, madlik l'shem mitzvah, and you don't have to go ahead and pick it up and put it down again. Why? Because hadlaka osa mitzvah. U'mikol makom, sarach shi'adlikan makom nechasa. But however, it's very important that where do you light it? Place where it's supposed to be. She'im hidliga b'fnim. If you lit it inside, Votzia L'chutz, took it out, Lo Yotze, you're not Yotze.
And here, the Shulchan Aruch should say, as the Rambam says, you're not Yotzei because you lit it where? In the wrong spot. And Havlaka owes the mitzvah, and therefore it has to be written where? It has to be lit where? In the right spot. But the Shulchan Aruch says, no. The reason why it's possible, Sheroa Omer Letzarhu Umadlik. The guy is going to say, someone's going to see me and say, oh, he must lit the menorah because he needs the light. So the question is, we don't understand this. The Gemara just said, Halakha is the mitzvah, and therefore it has to be lit in the right spot. And along comes the Shulchan Aruch. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? The Shulchan Aruch says that you can't move it, because if you move it, someone's going to say, Letzarcha hu madlika. He lit it for his own purposes.
How are we going to light one candle and the other candle without moving it?
No, so in other words, I guess what happens is you have long wicks. You have long wicks. All right? Now, obviously, it's not really done. As a matter of fact, I think the Shulchan Aruch says we don't do it today, but you have long wicks. Now, if you go on, you see there's another question also. He says, and he goes on in the same thing. Now, according to the Rambam, by the way, if you light it one spot and move it, it's possible because of luck osa mitzvah. All right? But according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's possible for another reason. Okay, so now, we'll try to explain this, but to point out another question, a similar question, if you go and look at source number 11, don't come back to source number 10. So we know that, where do you light the Chanukah menorah? So, manich l'mayla megivel tefachim. You have to light it more than 3 tefachim off the floor, it shouldn't be on the floor. Mitzvah l'hanicha, and it's the mitzvah to put it, l'matim yutfachim, lower than 10 tefachim. Diminicha l'mayla megivel tefachim, but if it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, you would say, if you lit it more than 20 amas high, lo yashna yotzei. He says, and then the Rama says, v'afil lakha kach dolak, and even if you lit it, do you have 20 amas high? V'inicha, then you put it down, l'mata michaf. Put it down below 20. So let's say, for example, a person lives in an apartment building, he lights his menorah, you know, in the windowsill, and then they sing everything. They sing and takes it downstairs. Right, you're not Yotzei. The Hadlaka osa mitzvah, because Hadlaka osa mitzvah. Alright? The Magen Avraham in source number 12 adds in, Uviyam Shel Shlomo, Perek Vav Devavakam, Farish Hatam, the Haroa Omer Letzarchu Nakatla. The reason is not because of Hadlaka osa mitzvah. That's the reason is because if someone sees me carrying a menorah downstairs, what's he going to think? He's going to think that what? That I lit it for what reason? I lit it for? My light. What do you mean? Hadlaka osa mitzvah. You have to light in the right. You have to light in the right place. So how do we understand that? So the Bach points out like this. The Bach says hadlaka osa mitzvah. There's no question about that. And therefore, if a cheres shot of a katan light a menorah, halacha is in the house. The cheres shot of a katan, and let's say for example, a katan did not reach eitz of chinuch. So therefore, if a cheres shot of a katan goes ahead, and a cheres shot of a katan will a cherishot someone who's considered can't speak and can't hear, and a shota is somebody who is not chayv mitzvahs because he's just not lucid, all right? And a katan is obviously someone who did not reach the age. Let's say according to all she does not reach the age of chinuch. He lights the menorah. Let's say I appoint him. Now, obviously, in Ashkenazi houses, everyone lights, right? And, you know, therefore, we might have little children light also. But let's say, for example, in the minhag of Sfaradim is one person lights. So if they appoint a cherishot but the light, they're not yotzei the mitzvah. And even if the gadol comes and takes and puts it down, they're not yotzei. Why not? Because hadlaka osa mitzvah, all right? So that's the hadlaka. However, because hadlaka osa mitzvah. However, the Bach says that if a person lights the menorah and he has kavana for Ner Chanukah, he's Yotzei. Right? He's definitely Yotzei. Only thing is, what do you got to do? He still has to do what? You have to put it where? In the right spot. And it's considered Ner Chanukah, but it's possible because we're afraid of what people will think afterwards. Right? In other words, so to be in there, if a cherishot to be cut and light in Ner Chanukah, it's not Ner Chanukah, because of luck osa mitzvah. But if I light my menorah in my house, and I have in mind that it's for Ner Chanukah, and even though it's a place which is possible, it's more than 20 amos off the ground, it's in the house where nobody's around, and I move it, it's a Ner Chanukah, but I'm not Yotzei. Why aren't I Yotzei? Because the halacha is, someone might think that it's not a Ner Chanukah, la'orah hu tzarach. That is what the Bach explains. So even though we said lakos the mitzvah, however, hadlakos mitzvah is hadlak is the mitzvah, and but where you put it, okay, where you put it is also very important. But it doesn't mean that law has to be written, it has to be lit in the right spot. It doesn't mean that meikar adin. There is a special gzeira why, but it's still considered near Hanukkah if it's in the wrong spot. As long as you go ahead and you move it to the right spot afterwards, but you're not yotzei for a technical reason. Now, just coming back to the Shulchan Aruch, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch says that why is it if I light it inside, I bring it outside? The psul, it's puzzle, not because it's hadlakas mitzvah, because I did the mitzvah already. Just in order to be yotzei, it has to be in the right spot. That's the reason. And if it's not in the right spot, I'm not yotzei. However, I can't put it in the right spot because then it will not look like a Ner Chanukah, and it has to look like a Ner Chanukah. And that's why the Yashal Shlomo also says, if it's more than 20 amos high, it's a Ner Chanukah. I'm not yotzei because it's in the wrong spot, but I could theoretically put it in the right spot, but someone will not realize it's Ner Chanukah, and that's why it's possible. So we see when it comes to Ner Chanukah, there's lighting it, and also to make sure that even after you light it and it's in Hanukkah, it has to be in the right spot. Yes, I'm sorry. So I have to tell you that the Shamish, okay, the Shamish was done at the time for certain reasons, okay. The first time a Shamish comes up in the Gemara is at a time when they have to light inside the house, and in order to give a hecker as a Ner Chanukah, if you light outside, there's no reason to have a Shamish. You light in the window, there's no reason to have a Shamish. Api halacha, okay? There's no reason to have a Shamish. I know, it sounds crazy. I'm saying something which you said, why? Because the reason why you light a Shamish is just to light the candles. I'll come back to this. However, he says, it was a Shas HaKana and you couldn't light the menorah in the window because whatever would happen, they would light on the table. In order to show it's Ner Chanukah, they had a Shamish to show this is my Shamish for my light and the menorah is for Ner Chanukah. Okay. Now today, we don't really need a Shamish, even in the house, because what do we have in our rooms? What do we have? We have electric lights. I have to tell you, now, however, Al Pi Kabbalah, there is a reason to have a Shamish. I have to tell you that, the Soloveitchik family, okay, it comes from the Feinstein, actually, is known to be, I'm not sure what the word is, but they're a little concerned about, danger, okay? My father told me the story, it comes from the Feinsteins, that when he was a kid, he would go visit his grandfather, Velia Persian, or Velia Feinstein, was a Rav in Persian, and there was a tree outside the room. And he got the biggest kick of climbing the tree, and screaming from the tree, Zaidi, Zaidi, and then his grandpa would come running to him. And he told me one time, he was screaming Zaidi, Zaidi, and he fell off the tree, and he told me, show me his mark. So my father, when he lit the menorah, said, this was his minhag with the Shamish. He would light the menorah, he'd admit it to brachas, and he'd blow the candles out, okay? So that's what I learned. And my kids come home from school, and I say, Abba, you're not using a Shamish, that's terrible. You're not using a mitzvah. So the Shamish, I'll pick a bowl, there's an Indian to have a Shamish, I don't necessarily understand it, but there's an Indian to have a Shamish, okay? So that, but wherever it goes, whatever, it doesn't really make a difference, yeah.
Sometimes in Yerushalayim, it's very windy in the early evening.
Yeah.
If you didn't cover that, extenuating circumstances, it's then you want to light it outside.
Yeah.
If there's such a wind, every time you're lighting it.
You light in the window. The Aruch HaShulchan says, the Aruch HaShulchan points out that Chazal were not mechayev us to go ahead and buy glass boxes, believe it or not. The Aruch HaShulchan says that, okay? He says, we're not mechayev us. And he says the reason why is because he says in Yerushalayim, they didn't have a problem like they had in Nevardak in Europe, okay? But Aruch HaShulchan didn't live in Yerushalayim, so he doesn't know. But he can light in the window. Now, so let's just summarize so we can get back to the focus of the shir. So basically we said it's like this, hadlako is the mitzvah. That even though hadlako is the mitzvah, it doesn't mean, according to all opinions, as the Bach points out, that it has to be lit in the right place. It's still a Ner Chanukah, if it's lit in the wrong place, right? And if it wasn't for a technical reason, you actually could move it. Okay. Based on this Sevara, we can actually understand another halacha that even once that luck is over, there's still some mitzvah involved. So we hold that once you light the menorah, the mitzvah is done. Right? Obviously, it has to be lit with potential to last for how long? Half an hour, let's say. Half an hour. She says, what happens if I light the menorah, and then all of a sudden, it goes out. Am I obligated to relight it? No, absolutely not. And the truth is, I did the mitzvah already. However, that being said, if I did the mitzvah already, there's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, source number 19. Halacha is the mitzvah. Lefichach in kafsa, if it blew out before the zman passed, you don't have to light it again. And even Erev Shabbos before Kabbalah Shabbos, it's not night yet. It blew out. You did the mitzvah. He says, if you look at the Ramah, but if you want to be machmer and light it again, ain't lebarach aleha. But the question is, what's the point? So the answer is that even though the mitzvah is the hadlaka, but where it lasts and what it does afterwards, so it's still in their Hanukkah. Okay, once you lit it, it's still in their Hanukkah, and therefore, if you light it again, you're still having Pesumi Nisa within their Hanukkah. Okay, so now, let's step aside for a second, and let's talk about the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So, when we did the Gemara, the menorah, we discussed the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash, we saw before, it seems the Gemara implies that the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash also is a mitzvah of Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. Right? Because in the Beis HaMikdash we said that you're allowed to go ahead and light one candle from the other, because if it's Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, right? So then, it's not a bizoyon to the mitzvah to light one candle from another, because you're using Ner Chanukah for another mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Okay, so let's look at the Rambam. Okay, the Rambam, and I know I have my great-grandfather written here, I'm not really going to discuss my great-grandfather on this one, but if you look at the Rambam in source number 15, Hilchas B'as Migdash Perek Tes Halacha Zayin, V'chein Hadlakas HaNeros K'sheira B'zorim, Azar, a stranger, someone a non-Kohen, is allowed to go ahead and light the menorah. Just like a non-Kohen can shech the korban, certain korbanos, a non-Kohen can light the menorah, lefichach, im heiti of our Kohen es haneros, if the Kohen went ahead and prepared the neros, v'hotzien l'chutz, and took it outside, the azara, so mutter lezar lahak lehadlik, so a stray non-Kohen can light the menorah. That's the sheet of the Rambam, and the Ravid actually agrees. The Minchas Chinuch has a very hard time with this halacha. Number one, he says, why? Because it sounds like the mitzvah of Hanor and the Beis HaMikdash is not a mitzvah of who lights it, right? If it's a mitzvah of lighting also, so the mitzvah of lighting it, how in the world can you go ahead and have somebody else light the someone else light the menorah? The Minchas Chinuch asked the question. He says in source number 16. All right, he quotes the Yalchut Shimoni that it says Yaruch Hasaneros Lifnei Hashem, that you have to set neros before Hashem. Shlo Yitakin B'chutz V'Yachnis. What does that mean? You can't light the menorah outside the Beis HaMikdash and then do what? Bring it back in. Now, if we look at the Al Hanisim, what do we say in Al Hanisim? V'Idlikos Neros, right? V'Chatos Kodshecha. Okay, and you know, many people say what it means is it doesn't mean they lit the menorah. They lit the menorah. They lit the menorah in the Chatos Kodshecha, and then they would take it back in, as the Rambam says, and the Gemara sort of implies that. So how does the Rambam deal, number one, with our Gemara, which seems to imply Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah by the menorah, and therefore how can a stranger light the menorah? He says, and number two, we have another halacha, and the halacha seems to state that you're not allowed to prepare a menorah outside and do it inside. So the Eimad Dover, the Netziv, he says like this. He says that, what does it mean you're not allowed to prepare the menorah outside the Beis HaMikdash and bring it and out of the Mikdash and bring it inside? Lo b'hadlaka ma'iri kra. We're not talking about the hadlaka. Ela haracha l'hachin nesinas hashemen b'neiros v'asiyos hapsilos v'anachasim b'neiros, but to prepare the oil and the wicks, right? Hakol yev olam moed, below b'makam acher. Everything has to be done in the olam moed and not anywhere else. But the hadlaka can be done outside. The preparation has to be done inside, and the hadlaka itself can be done outside. So the question is, it makes it sound like the hadlaka is not so important. So our Gemara seems to imply that hadlaka is important. So it could be like this. Okay, let's listen very carefully. That if the Kohen lights it, then the Hadlaka is important. But and then it becomes part of the Avodah, right? And it's a mitzvah, and where should it be done? It should be done inside the proper place. But if the non-Kohen lights it, then the preparation is important, and then you can bring it inside. Okay.
So the Rambam holds that, yeah, he says it's a mitzvah. And you want to know something? It's a mitzvah which is Docha Shabbos, lighting the menorah. However, if it's done by a non-Kohen, then that becomes sort of a preparation, okay, to the way it lasts. But if a Kohen does it, then it becomes part of the avodah and has to be done dafk in the Beis Hamikdash, and the hadlaka is the mitzvah itself also. Now, what do we learn from all this? So I was thinking, we learn from this is like this, that, you know, we speak about why is the mitzvah hadlaka and not the hanacha. You know, the menorah, first of all, it's not clear, as I mentioned, I think, a number of years ago, if the mitzvah of lighting the menorah was a mitzvah that was enacted right away after Zman of Hanukkah. From the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, you could deduce that the lighting of the menorah was a mitzvah that was added later on, before the Zman of the Churban. My uncle, Yoshe Bir Soloveitchik, suggests that, and he says, it's quoted in the footnotes, that the Avnei Nezer, the Sachachavar, said the same thing. People ask me, where is the Avnei Nezer? I spent probably hours and hours looking through the Avnei Nezer Sfarim. I haven't found it. So I assume the Rav heard it from somebody back in Europe. All right? But he's just, and by the way, historians suggest, if you look in Josephus, you look in the Book of Maccabees, no one brings down this mitzvah lighting the menorah. Okay, what happened? Why? Because it could be, if you look at the Gemara says Chanukah is about Halal Nalan Nisan. That's what it's about. And it could be lighting a menorah. There was no reason to have a Chanukiah then, because what did the Jews have? What did the Jews have then? The menorah is a Mikdash. It wasn't that important. At the time of Talmidei Bisham and Beis Hillel, all of a sudden, they saw the writing on the wall, and they said, oh my gosh, we have to have some sort of remembrance, and they're misaking the menorah. But what really is the menorah? Menorah, as we said, is not necessarily, number one, you're right, it is to Eidus to Klal Yisrael. We're also told that the menorah is to give light to Klal Yisrael, not the Beis HaMikdash itself. As a matter of fact, the windows were constructed in the way where the light of the Beis HaMikdash could go outside. So, when we speak, and, you know, we go ahead and we speak about the menorah, as we know, is to bring, to lighten up the darkness, to somehow be an inspiration. The miracle, the Nes of Chanukah, was a very dark time. Very dark time. There were Jews who felt it was all over at that time. There were three groups of Jews. There was one group of Jews that said, let's become Hellenists, Mishyavnim. There was a second group of Jews. The second group of Jews, they said, you know what, it's all over. We lost. Yeah, but that's it. Judaism is finished. We'll get our war in Olam Haba. And the Maccabees, the Hasmoneans said, no, we're going to fight. And they fought and they won. They brought hope. They took the Jews out of despair, right? So the menorah represents a certain time of, you know, going ahead and bringing light and mefarshim the nes. And mefarshim the nes is to mefarshim what it means to be God's nation. So I think the reason why hadlaka is a mitzvah, because in order for a person to inspire people to light, you have to have hadlaka. You have to have hadlaka. However, a person should be very careful to realize that even though you have hadlaka, you have to know where your hanacha is, where you're placed. In other words, the hadlaka might be very important, but it's very important to realize where you're placed. What do you do with the hadlaka? What do you do with it? If you look at the last source on the page, the Gemara says in source number 20, my Chanukah, what is Chanukah? This is actually the Gemara is talking about. Let's read the whole Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis learned, B'chafei, B'kislev, B'chafei, B'kislev, Yom HaDechanukah, the days of Chanukah, Tamni Inun, there are 8 days. The Lola Misbod Bahan, the Lola Hasanos Bahan, you can't have eulogies, you can't fast. Why? Shekeshenichnasu Yevarim Lehechel, when the Yevarim came into the Hechel, Timu Kol Hashmonim, what did they do? They made all the oils impure. Ukshigavra Malchus based Chashmonoi, and when the Chashmonoim were victorious, Vinitzkumene beat them, Batku, they looked, they only found one pach of oil, one pitcher of oil, okay? And that pitcher of oil showed the Jews that God was still with them. Vishayimunach Bakoshu Kohen Gadol. Vilaho Yubo, it was only Elohad Yom Echad, a miracle happened, and they basically made a nace of 8 days, they made a holiday, it lit for 8 days. Lashana Cheres. We'll come back to this. They've kavum v'asum yom tovim v'halavada. Halavada. That was it. The lighting menorah, maybe it happened much later on before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. However, why l'shana acheres? Why did they wait? Why didn't they do it right then? So there are those who say that, you know, every time there's a holiday, there's some kind of feeling, something mystical. They're waiting for that feeling. I'm a brisker, okay? I like to think of those things. I know it's Yud Tes Chav Kislev, but, you know, but what's the Shana Acharis?
We had a miracle. But what are we going to do with that miracle? Are we going to go ahead and are we going to, you know, move on like life is normal and not take advantage? Are we going to go back to the way it was before the whole Nes of Hanukkah when the Jews were negligent, as the Bach points out, in their Avodas Hashem, and that's why everything centered around the Beis HaMikdash? Or are we going to take this miracle and build ourselves up and inspire people, inspire ourselves? Because if we're not going to use this miracle to build ourselves up, there's no reason to make a holiday. And that's why they waited L'shana Acheres. They waited another year. What is another year? They wanted to see. What's the other year? Was it a year later? Was it 2 years later? I have no idea. They waited to see what the Jews would do with it. And Hadlak Osa Mitzvah, because you have to light yourself up. You have to be inspired. But the question is, what do you do with that inspiration? Where do you go afterwards? See, even though Hadlak Osa Mitzvah, Hanukkah is also important. And that's why if you live in the wrong place, really you should be able to move it according to the Bach. According to the Eitz Shulchan Aruch, according to Yom Tov Shlomo. There's a reason why you don't move it, because we're afraid that what might happen. Some might say, let's start a whole matlik. Right? But hadlaka is the mitzvah, it's not just the hadlaka. And that's why, that even after you're making the mitzvah, it's done, you can relight it, because there's something about the hanacha. The Ritva points out, when we say hadlaka is the mitzvah, we mean the ikar mitzvah is the hadlaka. And Rashi implies that also. But there's still something in hanacha, where it's afterwards, is very, very important. What do you do with it? But obviously, how you light yourself up is very important. And even after you light yourself up, it's important to know, and you are in your Hanukkah, you have to know that you're in the right place. When we take it to our lives also, have to know you're in the right place. And that is a key component in Avodas Hashem. I have to tell you, my father used to always explain the Pasuk. Okay? I don't know scientifically if he worked this out. He actually learned this from a conductor, he told me. He said it in the shir a few times. So, as I mentioned, the previous year, my father was always very afraid in early years of flying. So, he used to take trains from Chicago to New York, and sometimes he had to go to the West Coast. I wasn't sure to be a scholar in residence or as an order to go ahead and to for strikes. But he once took a train to Los Angeles, to California, okay? I don't know how long it takes to go from Chicago to Los Angeles, all right? And on the way, I guess he passed by, through Arizona, the desert, right? And he sees in Arizona something you never see in Chicago. The first time I saw it was when I made Aliyah, the first time I never saw it was palm trees. And he was very intrigued by palm trees. It's a desert. And the conductor said to him, the palm trees, their roots are very long and it finds water. And he used to quote this story when he explained the pasuk Shesulim Beis Hashem B'chatros Elokeinu Yafrichu, planted in the house of God. B'chatros Beis Hashem Yafrichu. He says why Shesulim Beis Hashem B'chatros? What's that right? What? Tzadik Atamivarch Yadam Yisgesh Shesulim Beis Hashem B'chatros Elokeinu Yafrichu. So what is doing? It was planted in the house and it flourished in the chutzar. He says, you lay your roots, that your roots can reach the Beis Hashem. Okay? So in other words, it's very important that the hadlak is good, because the hadlak is not good. The hanach is not going to mean anything. And that's why you have to make sure when you light it l'shem Hanukkah. And if you live l'shem l'shem Hanukkah and you move it, it's not good. Because you have to have the hadlakah. Once you have the hadlakah, then you can do the hanachah. Right? But the ikar mitzvah hadlaka, because without the hadlaka, you have no hanacha. If you don't get yourself fired up, how can you inspire? How can you do something? As I mentioned the last year, by Yaakov Avinu, that first you have to work in himself, and then he can go ahead and inspire the whole world. That's the idea of hadlaka and hanacha osa mitzvah. Now, I just want to finish off with one story, I think a very beautiful story about my father, and I'll apply it to the shir, and then we'll sum things up. So my father had a stroke, and I was zoche to be in my father's shir most of the time after he had the stroke. It was a schus for me. Okay, I was there for I guess a year I think before then he had the stroke, and I was zoche to be able to take care of my father and learn many things from my father outside of shir.
Where was this?
In Chicago, and then New York also. And it was fascinating to watch my father as he recovered. Okay, as a matter of fact, I remember when
he was beginning to learn how to walk again. He was having a hard time. My oldest son, who's now 27, I think, was learning how to walk. Or actually, I shouldn't say it. That's not true. No, my father already was walking with a cane. But he was watching my oldest son learn how to walk. And you know, how do babies learn how to walk? They stand up, they walk a few steps, and what happens? They fall down, they get up again. My father said to me, he said, it's amazing, the courage they have. If I could have that courage, I'd be able to walk normally also. But older people don't have that courage. And, you know, it's very painful for him. Very painful. And it was very important to him, though. His learning, his davening, minyan was very important to him. Extremely important to him. And no matter what, you know, he taught us how to have gevura. What I learned after those years was more than I learned in shir. And, you know, there were many times, you know, that he would walk. I remember in the airport, people tried to help him. No. I'm doing it all myself. My father was a very stubborn man. Doing it all himself. And when he would walk, so he would do one of two things. My father was very systematic. Either he would sing Elokel, okay? And by the way, my father hardly sang over all the years. Okay? But that's another shir. Okay? Or he would go Achas, Achas, Achas. I don't know if you remember that, Rabbi Finkelstein. Okay? There it says, right? He would take one step Achas. Achas, Achas. Remember coming to the back room in Bris Baruch, right? Achas, Achas, Ishtayim. Achas, Bishalosh. Achas, Bisharba. And then Achas, Bisharba. And then he'd go over again. He'd keep going over. Achas, Achas. Okay? And we thought it was like, you know, my father was keeping his mind, you know, and what he's doing, right? At my father's levaya, one of my brothers got up and said, my father was doing the avoda of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Okay? And I think he taught us a lot, but he was in a different place than he was before the stroke. And when he was in shir, he was one place, and when he was working somewhere else, he was walking, he was talking to someone else. There was the hablaka, how you fire yourself up. But that hablaka, when you fire yourself up, the hanacha, can be in many different places. Okay? So Me'ikar Adin, we say, we do the Hanukkah, you have to light, and you have to put it in the same place. It'll be in the same place. That's Me'ikar Adin. However, according to the Bach, according to Yamshel Shlomo, he says, there's a technical reason why you can't, but really, it can be in different places. There's a technical reason why you can't, because someone will say, L'tzar Hu Madlik. But you have to realize that the Hanukkah sometimes is different. The most important thing, what makes the mitzvah is avlaka. But then you have to realize where you are, how to do the avoda. So this mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is not just the mitzvah of Pursum HaNes. It's Pursum HaNes for sure, and that's the Iker mitzvah. But it's also to remind us of what happened and how we were inspired and how, as we said, the Jews themselves were inspired, changed themselves. They were fired up, and then what you do with afterwards. And Hanukkah sometimes in a different spot, I'll tell you, sometimes you're in a different spot than where you learn. And it's very important because people have dreams and visions for themselves. Sometimes they think, is this where I wanted to be? That's not where I wanted to be. But I'm a different spot and I have to realize this is my avoda now and I have to take the hadlaka that was somewhere else and somehow lighten up the world in the place where I am. That's what happened in Hanukkah and that's what we do today. We fire ourselves up and after we're fired up, look where we are. And make sure we can do the proper persimmonation in that place according to where it is. Hapi halacha, you light, same place. However, for ourselves, the lesson is very clear. Look where you are, and sometimes it's a different place than where you light yourself up. Have a wonderful Hanukkah.